There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiancé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Y'all, this is a special reality gaze because we are doing a collab.
It's an orgy.
We are doing a collab with two friends. We've been planning this for a long time.
look at her fucking topping off her glass of wine. If you're the intimate portrait, Wama's topping off her glass of wine. That's a heavy pour.
Y'all. Welcome to
J-Poor,
the collab reality sweeties, reality gays with Docu sweeties.
I prefer sweetie gays.
That sounds creepy. Y'all,
welcome to sweetie gays. Sweetie gays.
We are with the wonderful Chris Farah and the marvelous Wahima.
Wahima, I don't know your last name.
Wahimalino.
Wahimalino.
Someone once told me it was like Akuna Matata. Wahimalino.
And it kind of sounds like a car that you may take.
Awesome. Great.
One time, Wah was drunk and we were doing a YouTube video and I was like, and this is, and then she answered,
Wahimalino.
And forever, for the rest of my life, I sing her name like, Wahimalino. You know, it's just like, it sounded so good.
It sounded so good when you did it. Okay, we're jumping into it. We did part one on their podcast.
And we're Docu a little Sweeties, drunk.
And we've all been drinking. Maybe other things. It's not legal in all states.
Sissies, please join us on Docu Sweeties for us talking about Gunther's Millions, a Netflix documentary.
That was bonkers. I said, y'all, this is Chris Farah and Wahima. We've been friends for a while, and they have a podcast called Docu Sweeties, and we just did their show. We talked about Gunther's Millions and on Netflix. And honestly, watching, I'm like, What else can it be? It'll be a riot. It'll be about a dog who gets $500 million. Oh, we can really read that for filth. We did not expect the sex cult angle.
Or the boy band
angle.
Or the eugenics.
Or the eugenics angle.
It was basically Ace of Base. It was like Ace of Base. Not a boy band. It was like Ace of Base or ABBA. Two boys, two girls.
I said S Club 7 because there were alternates. to this band.
That was.
Shut the fuck up. If you don't know S Club 7, I can't help you. Y'all, well, I guarantee you there are listeners who watched S Club 7 on a Saturday morning.
You know, it's just
S Club. I think they were Scandinavian.
I think this was some shit in Greenville, South Carolina that just got patched in.
Maybe.
Anyway,
they needed to fill sometime. They couldn't do another hour of the Andy Griffith Show.
That's true. You can listen to that on their wherever you listen to your podcast, or you can watch it on the DocuSweeties Patreon. And this is, we are doing an intimate portrait of this. So Ooh. This is available on our $15 tier as well, or you can listen to it. Okay. Y'all have been talking and I've had earbuds and you've been listening. You're like, where is Maddie? So I'm going around because I lost my wallet this morning. I had a busy day today. I didn't care. No one gives a shit until Seven Sissies message you and tell you that Johan is on Unfiltered and I need to find my credit card to subscribe to his OnlyFans.
Oh, yep. She's on OnlyFans. Oh, that's
but it's called Unfiltered.
Yep.
That dick takes up 3 frames.
Yep.
Wait.
I am looking everywhere for my wallet. I used my Amex and it said it was fraud and it declined me, and now I've gotten 7 texts.
Do you guys follow Mary Pants?
Yes.
That's who posted it.
Yeah,
that's who
Mary posted Pants it. Posted yeah. it.
Mm-hmm. Pictures? Are they blurred out?
I don't, there's blur. I've subscribed, but it's blurred. I can't find the dick. I just want to say I love and appreciate all the sissies that have messaged me immediately.
Here's the thing. When you do what you're good at, do what you excel at. And he obviously excels with his penis.
It sucks that Danielle's going to try to take that money, though.
Oh, that's the worst thing. Johan, get yourself power of attorney right now, honey. Get away from that.
You know what? It's not a good move, because he just got done saying that they can stay in the DR if they have a great life, if they're making it, if they're making money. But we also know this man wants to get to where? America. So he should wait to not make the OnlyFans money until like he gets to America, because she can be like, look, you don't need to be in America. You don't need to be in New York City slaving away. And here's the thing. She might not be wrong, but I'm just saying, as his like devil's advocate, if he wants to get to America, don't be making money in the DR.
Well, the problem.
That's a good point.
The problem, really good point. It is. It's a fair point. The problem is that fair I point. See it is that
it's a fair point. Yes, I like
he
that.
He thinks he's a night at Beyonce and she's on the other way. He doesn't even know what show he's on, and it's awful. And she's treating him like he's her child who she fucks. And it's really awful.
The
really,
other
she's
problem
a disgusting
is that,
person.
That part.
Yeah, the other problem is that Danielle is actually an asshole.
No, you're right. She's a legendary asshole.
I mean... She and Big Ed are like.
I agree. Y'all watched Love in Paradise, right? And when you watched her season, you knew she was an asshole. Mm-hmm. But she came back into this other way energy with so much asshole potential that she has so much asshole collateral that she's going to win the season. They're going to come so hard for her on the tell-all with even other people. I predict the lesbians are going to have a problem with her.
Yeah. And that sleepy Chris, she definitely has problems. I know she cuts up in Bogota. I know she cuts up over there with her Alabama nonsense. She probably is upset because she's never left the fucking country ever in her life. So she goes over there and one little thing flips her off, and then she's like, God damn, I should have stayed in America.
Yeah, I'm really upset I feel like they're going to make that the punchline for her.
Because narcolepsy is not a funny thing. It's really terribly debilitating.
It's like a horrible, I'm waiting. Someone just texted me because I talked about it when her flying outfit that I called the Wish JoJo Siwa. And someone else texted me, it's even a better, Sissy Sarah said, I finally figured it out. It's the outfit, if you remember Arrested Development when Charlize Theron was on it, it's the outfit that Charlize Theron would wear.
Oh, Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
In a different time. That was a very different time. But y'all, Chris and Jamie are, I think it's the biggest DOA, aside from the old woman on the donkey.
which we haven't seen her yet.
She's with a man named Osama. She's with a man named Osama. You can't be with a man named Osama.
What were the bisexuals from Love and Caribbean? It was
Valentine and
Valentine, the throttle.
Carlos.
Carlos.
No, my loves.
No. She's talking about Reggie.
Ricky.
Reggie.
No. That was DOA.
No.
Yeah. It has an Arab.
Tammy and Dammy.
Abby and Gabby.
Abby! Okay, sorry.
And Frankie.
I said that Gabby was a spirit of a sea witch who called upon the ocean creatures to hermit crabs. I want you to sting Frankie. And so he will never forget what he has done for me wrong. All the land dwellers will forever pay for what they have done to me.
Now we
Scabby Abby. She was so
she was terrible.
I'm gonna try and get, you know, Frankie, and then like, oh no, I love you so much, Gabby.
Abby, es la verdad? Es la verdad, Abby?
Es la verdad. I am calling upon the waters of the Gulf of Mexico.
Siete mares para ti.
Siete mares.
Now, because sissies hear us talk about Toe all the time. So from y'all's perspective, is this your favorite spinoff of 90 Day? Or what is your pièce de résistance of
Chris,
90?
Chris, go. You go first.
Okay, here's the thing. I have been salivating ever since. The last good 90 Day season was the last Toe for me. Like, give me Mike and Jimena. Give me Jasmine and Gino. Like, that's...
I think that was B90.
Was it B90. Yeah.
No, it was. Yeah. Oh, no, but they were just in the other countries.
Yeah. I think that was B90 because Toe was more Jenny and Sumit. And
you're
last time, yeah.
On it, and you're right.
I was wrong. I said the same thing. That's what I thought.
He said the same thing, and
Toe.
I looked it up. Last season of Toe was like, it was Jenny Sumit. It was also, what's her name, who hates him, and the guy who's Mormon.
It was Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like all the regurgitated people.
And Corey, Evelyn and Corey.
Before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before the 90 Day was the last good season we had. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was only two couples who were new. That was what's her name?
What's her name from
hair.
Seattle?
She was Ellie.
Ellie. The one who definitely murdered her husband, I said.
Yeah. Oh no.
I got a lot of hate for saying she murdered her husband, y'all. She killed her husband.
Okay. Because Jenny, I don't want to get sued anymore. What are your thoughts?
Jenny and Sumit were the best thing to come out of Toe, to be honest. And then the other couple was Aladdin and that old lady from Canada who was
Aladdin,
living in America.
Aladdin and Laura.
Yeah.
With the three-day Tunisian wedding.
They are honestly, season one of that rocked my soul. And I was like, this is what I need. But honestly, before the 90 days is where we met our girl, Darcy. And B90. And that was my first introduction to it. I said, oh, she's in Holland with a guy who threw a chew at her. And it...
You threw a chew at me.
Jesse.
Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton.
Cut on the bias. I mean, before the 90 days and then Toe and then a 90 day fiance with a fresh crop of people. And then, I mean, 10th is
by a
happily
mile.
Ever after. Happily ever after. Let's talk about it. 21 episodes. 21. We have been watching that for 5 months and they feel no shame about it.
No. I said it was a social experiment. They were seeing how much we could take. And people tuned out. I think they learned that no one but I will say that finale with the kind of like Love is Blind, like let's meet up and like hash it out. It just showed us how almost replaceable Sean Robinson is. And in a weird way, Like, was right there, y'all.
It's your hat to the ring, honey. Tips that hat, falls right out, right into the ring.
Y'all, Waz, Sean is around, but like if Sean goes missing, maybe don't look for Waz.
Waz shed at her dad's house. What the Sean Robinson part?
There's a cryptic
like Alex Murda.
There's a cryptic tweet from DocuSweeties that says ... We wish Sean the best.
You know what it is? It's that when Michelle Collins did the after show
Remember that?
90 Day Fiancé, I was actually on that. Do you remember that?
Yes,
I was on that. So for me, when Sean Robinson came in, my career as a talking head for TLC went out the door. So
that's true.
Like, I was one of the, I mean, listen, I talked about our queen Darcy like nobody's business.
She replaced you as the one black person that could talk about the show. There was room for one and it wasn't going
to
be you.
Yeah, yeah, listen, you have to be a black lady with great arms. That's the requirement, honey. You have to have great arms.
Have great arms.
You have to be a little non-threatening, because if you're going to get angry, we don't want that either. Because we don't want an angry black woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As they get out this universe, and as they really fill it out, honey, and they really like Animal Crossing, they're building their farm. Okay, just like they can build everything. They can't just have one host. There's got to be there's just different flavors, right? Like nitty gritties and like getting into certain things. And you can't just like, she's so professional and she's like immaculate. What a beautiful, elegant woman, right?
First of all, you need an invested host. You need someone that's invested.
That's the biggest issue.
She's not.
We think Jake she's not a fan.
She's not.
She doesn't watch the show. She doesn't watch the show.
I love it.
She doesn't. But we were just covering
Sunday morning on repeat.
I do love Sunday morning.
Well, sure.
We were just watching Darcy and Stacey, and I was talking, I had the idea, and I went, because have y'all caught up on Darcy and Stacey?
I am.
I mean, I haven't watched season.
Oh,
this is the best season.
This is the best season since season one.
This is the best season of Darcy and Stacey.
The twins are fighting, Chris.
They are fighting because of a twin wedding.
And Darcy has hired a matchmaker. And the matchmaker is this fiery woman from Miami that fucking reads her for filth. And
it's amazing.
I told Jake, I said, that's the new next 90 Day spinoff. They need to have 90 day matchmaking, where she goes to these single people and coaches them on how to date. And I just want to see her with Natalie. I want to see her with Tiffany. I want to see her I want to see her with fucking Danielle going through her binders.
I
want to
see her with Danielle badly.
Yes.
Wait, can I quickly, because we're just loving each other and just like I'm so drunk, quick top three favorite characters in the 90 Day universe. And I'm going to go, I'll give you time to think about it, because mine are now
obviously,
I'm an only child, God bless. Natalie and Fiza and Yara.
Ooh.
Eastern Yara. European. European
I'm
woman.
I am, whatever it is, cream fever. You know, like it's.
I was going to say it's very white power of you.
You know what? Yep. Listen, here's the thing. In no other realm am I just like loving on white women. It's not white. It's really because it feels honestly not like white women. I'm not saying like Jenny Avery. You know, I'm just like it's
transactional women. You enjoy the transactional women.
They have a certain amount of directness.
Yep.
And bananasness. But here's the thing, and
I hear that.
And they're all different. I don't think that Yara is like, you know, Natalie. I think Natalie is wildly insane. Yeah. And I'll just watch everyone.
No, she's mentally ill. Yeah, she's got some problems.
Well, for sure. But I mean, sign me up. And if he's not me on the show anymore, but I just am still like so like thankful for her work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
me too. I'm thankful for her service.
Yeah. For sure. You know, like my grandfather, you know, he was in the war. Like
exactly.
Yara.
Very similar.
Yeah, very. Yara is like usually gives me like in most situations a voice of reason that I respect. Now I will say this last season was boring and I think completely fake, right? Like so much.
That was all fake. This was the most fraudacity. That storyline was fraud.
Because they're living a great life and I think they're happy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're happy. Yeah, I would say, I think my top three would be, I mean, just Darcy. I love Darcy. Like, I relate to her. Like, I love Darcy. And then probably my number two would be, you know, we're watching our class list right now. So we're doing season six of 90 Day Fiancé. And I have to say, just seeing that the fact that Larissa doesn't realize she's on a reality show and she's just conning Colton.
That was going
to
be
Vegas,
mine. It was Larissa.
I think that is my top two. And then I think probably my top three is, are we choosing favorites because we love them or favorites because where were you when you saw that?
Are you going to say Lyda?
Well, we just started watching her.
She's the villain of all villains. I know, that season.
Never admit that you like her. Never admit.
She's the top one villain of all villains. I think she's my worst of all possible.
I'm going to say this. People are going to Instagram me. People are going to hate me. You're going to tweet me. But y'all, I have to say, like, just when I saw Paul running through a forest and Karini going, Paul!
No, it's
Paul!
Karini, friend, it's okay.
They're terrible people.
We'll never get back to that Camelot.
They're horrible humans. Their kids are scarred for life, so I get all that. But as a viewer, just seeing him running with that fucking machete in a jungle with poop water is just something I'm never going to experience again.
And when he runs and she runs after him and he's there watching, saying, I'm going to jump, Karini. I'm going to jump in this water. I'm going to jump in this water. And
no, it was just
like trying to like kill himself. But for me, I'm going to say Darcy is up there for me. I think she's probably three for me. Mm-hmm. These are in no order, actually, I can say.
Okay.
Some of my favorites are just because I enjoy the ridiculousness of him was Muhammad from Even Muhammad. When he talks like this,
yeah.
He was just not a real person.
What's the drama? It was so good.
It was halfway between this world and the next.
Yeah.
And just because he was so weird and he did not fit any qualities that someone has ever had that I knew on television. So that for me, I just laughed like a fool. And I've got to say probably Natalie next. Because Natalie, for me, hits all of the characteristics of cringe reality. But weirdly, I can kind of understand her.
Me too.
I always understand her motivation.
Me too.
Like Natalie is that id that we all want to act on, but then our super ego like goes, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
She is a Chekhovian character. And I think that that's like what it really is. Yes, because you can see her want and her desperate need. It's pounding within you. Her eyes glaze with her want, her objective. Yeah. She's like, I want to be loved. I want to be free. I want
and you I
to
want
think
child.
I'm sexy. Please think I'm sexy. I'm beautiful. And I'm above all of you. Please think all of it. Like, she wants everyone. Yeah. She wants so badly for
three,
all of us to think
three. And in everything behind her last season of Single Life, we always said there was that crib that was in her Airbnb. She would go crib.
we wanted the crib to follow her, like we wanted it to
like
be
like a horror movie.
Crib, Natalie, we have a special guest here, and they just roll out the crib.
She goes crib.
Wahima, who is your top three?
Okay, so it's Anfisa.
Oh, she's queen.
Larissa.
Queen.
And Darcy.
Okay. All queens.
But queens.
If we're doing
drag race. She loves it.
I love it. If we're doing couples, I'm going to say Annie and David. I'm going to say Ginny and Sumit.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I believe in their love.
You know, they've made me a believer.
I believe in their love. I just don't believe in his backbone.
I mean, he doesn't have one. But when Sumit said that he finds pleasure from pleasing her, what the fuck else do you need?
I know. What else? I'm kind of the same way.
And
like, let them.
And then another couple is Chantel and Pedro.
Wow. That is a dark horse. Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. I've covered their four seasons, and I hope they come back for a fifth.
I just need to say this.
Support Black love. Go ahead.
They have, you know what? 100%. They have went back and forth. We call it now. Y'all, we always say, y'all, don't Chantel your significant other. Mm-hmm. Don't badmouth your spouse to your family or your really close friends, because mm-hmm. you are Chantelling them and they will never recover from it.
Yes. Miss Karen is the poor man's Kris Jenner. Were they not the first spinoff? I don't know.
They were the first 90-day spinoff.
They were.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, listen, roads need to be paved. Yeah. They paved the road.
And do you think that Libby's going to get a spinoff with her family?
I think they've tried every year. I don't think they will.
I don't know. I'm telling you, they still need, to make, because it's now all HGTV, they need to make a home reno show with Andre's family and Libby decorating. And it would be called, you know, not Fixer Upper. It would just be like, do it, dear, or whatever, yeah, or something
I feel like the family Chantel was an outreach to a certain audience that TLC had not had before. And they were like, we can get Black audiences, but if we could really get Black audiences here, that's one of the reasons. But, and also, it was fucking bonkers that season they had.
When he said, what did you say to me? What did you say to me? That karate chop with that Costco food and that Airbnb. Oh. Whatever, Miss Karen grabbing the hair and it's like, no es bueno para mi familia.
No bueno para mi familia.
No bueno immigraciones.
Harvesting the American dollar? Who has had the most quotables on this show besides Karen, Darcy and Karen?
Yeah.
Wait, Karen's understanding of Spanish is like basic, and then I would say Daniela of Daniela Milhan was like intermediate. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I love it. Daniela knows Spanish, but like not like, you know, it's just so funny because I feel like I don't know Spanish, but I know every word she says in the tempo that you know, habla esos. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo no soy Warren Buffett.
Okay. She does do it so she says it so confidently.
Yo no soy Warren Buffett, pero.
Pero.
I can't even. I said this on the podcast, which is so crazy. Like, she's just like, you're so stupido because you don't even know how like expensive it is in America. Whatever. He's like, you're dumb because
you're
like
dumb.
Dumbo.
It's crazy here and we want to leave.
I have said she thinks he's dumb. And she ever finds out he's smart, she's not going to want to be with him.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't think she'll ever find out.
Baby arm dick and all.
That he's like super, super intelligent. He has street smarts though, and he has fucking dreams. And the fact that she doesn't acknowledge that, and y'all, that's not love.
Mm-hmm. And like, he has an OnlyFans, and I don't have a credit card. Help!
I didn't know that wasn't unfiltered. I didn't know that unfiltered honey was a thing until now. Just so everyone, and I'm sure maybe everyone else knows, unfiltered.com, whatever, is a OnlyFans-like site.
Yes.
Started by like Stephanie. Stephanie from 90 Days, I think. Stepan.
Fartjar Stephanie?
Yeah.
Fartjar. No, not.
God,
but
careful.
I think Sip Stephanie, Stephanie from Grand Rapids has definitely been on that site, I'm sure. She was trying to do.
Ryan, why don't you go see Cuckoo with me? Because Cuckoo's dead, but we're going to get key lime yogurt anyway.
Wow. Love you so much.
Because we'll go on forever. Y'all also cover a little show that we've talked a little bit about called Love After Lockup.
It is like mother's milk pouring out of her breast and hearing the sound of a babbling brook of the mom's breast.
Like Monique's breasts and Derek resting against them.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, y'all. I just got to get this. I'm sorry. Hey, Tank Tank. Hey, Tank Tank, I can't talk to you right now. I'm doing a show. Hold on. Fribble, why are you playing on my phone? Hold on. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, hold on. Snake's calling me.
Hey, baby.
Snake. I mean, listen, Love After Lockup, Chevelle is my favorite.
Remember those outfits?
Chevelle, Megan, not Markle.
Not Markle.
The first season.
Yeah.
It's your class, ho. I said, mama, I'm here for it. Yeah, season one of Love After Lockup was Jonna and Garrett.
That goes way back.
Since the beginning. And I have been covering them since the beginning.
I saw his penis. Someone sent me Garrett's penis.
Did. I would like to see it as well. Thank you.
Yeah,
my God, what beautiful gifts you're given.
I mean, I've seen Carini's.
It's a gift to see penis. It's a gift to see dick.
I have lots of people send me dick pics.
I've seen Carini's vagina.
I saw Paul's dick. Yeah. And it was bigger than you would think. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw Stephanie and Ryan's butt.
No.
I don't get all these, and I'm okay with it. Unless someone finds Johan's dick, I want it.
I've seen Becky and Buki's like vagina. Like they're tiny. Oh, I have horrible news, but did you hear this? MediaTakeout.com released that Bilal and Shai, like.
Yeah. I think it's confirmed that she had a miscarriage, which is really sad.
God bless her. She had a baby bump, and then she put in a comment that she no longer has that baby bump.
Bilal and Shida.
I'm going to say this. It's not fun to bring up, but I want to bring it up only because as women, like, I think that you just sometimes, like, get fed this thing that, like, everyone gets pregnant, everyone just easy. No one goes through miscarriages. There are so many...
A lot of people
miscarriages that happen, and then there's babies afterward. There's just so many things that happen in the life, and I think that, you know, I think that if I'm really she said it. She didn't have to say it, but she said it, and so God bless.
We talk about it that it's shameful. Yeah,
especially if you believe that God is on your side, then you will be more apt to be like, "Hey, sing it on the mountains." I think.
Yeah.
My mother, to this day, she said, every Thanksgiving, she'll say, well, I think, look at this leftover food. And I think that could have been for your older brother, but he's not here.
Wow.
she says it every Thanksgiving because she had a miscarriage.
Oh, my God.
Did your mom have one miscarriage?
She had two, but she still brings up like every holiday. And we're like,
great.
She's thinking of that baby. Whoa.
But I mean, I bring that up that like it still sticks with her. But
yeah,
my dad's buried right next to him for that fake funeral I did for my dad to get away from Poodle.
I still never seen a death certificate. So.
I did hear that your mother wanted to be buried. You want you to be buried next to her. I did hear that.
She did say. Well, she's saying it now. She's saying it now because I'm single, which I've been single for like 7 months now. But she said well, who are you going to be buried by? I was like, Mom, I don't know. I might be scattered. She's like, honey, don't get scattered. Just don't put yourself everywhere.
Honey, just be mama's baby dumpling. You won't find anybody else. Just let mama take care of you and death.
And I'm like, my gay ass cannot be buried in Oklahoma. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Yeah. You know where I want to be buried?
They wouldn't even let you have ghost homosexual sex.
I want to be buried under like Flex Spa in a sex club. Scatter my ashes on just like
men are just like fucking each other with abandon.
Yes, and I know that where I am is where gay love is happening.
I don't think I'd call it love, but it's something.
Maybe.
That's beautiful. Honey, I think it's beautiful.
So who do you think, we're like a bit into, we're done with Gabby and Chris, but with the couples that are still going on with Love After Lockup, who do you have the most hope for?
Okay, first of all, Justine and Michael are obviously like superstars, and they're hanging their hat on them. Like we know they're going to be on Love After Lockup. It's like they're going to be a jagger. They're going to be like a hanger hat, like a coat hanger of.
They're going to be the
like
new Brittany Marcelino.
No one will be the new Brittany and Marcelino.
Okay, but what? Okay, Wob, what did you think about their ending? I mean, they are going to be.
I think they're vying for the role, but I don't think anyone will ever be able to live. Listen, let me tell you about the roller coaster that Brittany has bring her on. Okay,
she wrote a book.
Brittany wrote a book.
Brittany, yeah, she wrote a book. She's a real estate agent. She led a clean life. We saw her mother was a drug addict, and we saw her try to help her mother and talk about her mother's almost suicide with blowing up a home, and then the last season that we have with her, she punches her best friend in the fucking face
and clocks her.
It is the best that we have ever seen. Listen, Brittany gives us ups and downs. They give us storylines. They give us Alaska bits. They give us Vegas bits.
Alaska bits.
They give us everything. When she first came out of prison and he brought that weird ass 50s green dress to her and she was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. She's had therapy. We are here for it. The next best couple is Puppy and Amber.
Life After Lockup.
Yes, Amber is another success story. She came out of prison with that weird ass man, Vince, and then flipped it and took the show and went on the road. He was the one who put her on this show. And she said, guess what? I got a friend named Puppy.
That's true. She took she literally flipped the story and made it her own. That is so true.
Love After Lockup is one of the best trash ass reality TVs on.
Yes.
Matt Sharp. Listen, Love 90 Day Fiancé is great. But Love After Lockup.
But it is no Lalu.
It is
no Lalu. 90 Day Fiancé walked so that Lalu could run. Love After Lockup could run.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Yes. In handcuffs.
And then Matt Sharp came out with Inmate to Roommate and it crawled again.
Oh, no.
Two steps forward, he takes two steps back.
That was dark.
I mean, it was good. It's attracting, you know.
You know who I love this season? I love Ashley and Travis. Can you fucking believe that she has just been rich this whole time and then COVID happened? Obviously a drug, a functional alcoholic. And this last episode was so bananas when he was just like, look, you have told me and my family that you are rich and you are going to take care of me. And you got to uphold that because I am a prize. Obviously, I've been in prison for 14 years and stole $3,500 in 30 minutes. I think it's the best thing that ever happened in my fucking life. I'm the prize.
Yeah.
You have to tell my mom how you're going to take care of this thing that where you're now poor.
I'm not trash.
That was amazing. Y'all, and the best thing was when we meet his mother.
Miss Virginia.
And we see the bitch take the ring off of Ashley's finger. And it just becomes the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. Because
this looks good. It looks great on me.
She's an asshole, that mom.
And then
let me show you this beautiful place where you could live.
Y'all, she wants to drive Ashley crazy. And this is like, I think I saw a Twilight Zone kind of like this.
I mean, again, we tell everybody.
Where the mother murders Ashley.
We stole it from them, but Blighty Day Fiancé called her Kathy because of her hair, like the comic strip Kathy.
Yeah.
And we can't get it out of our head.
Oh my God. Blighty Day, thank you so much. It's absolutely fucking true. She's absolutely Kathy Beast, especially at the confessional. She looks crazy all the time, but she has that thick, like, gray eyeshadow. And then, yes, my love's like four different colors in her hair. She is a bananas person and wild. And like, where's Martin? You know, can he give her any money? And like, what's in his cheek? And like, also, like,
where is Martin? We dropped that storyline.
We did drop that storyline.
Like a hot.
Look at whoa. He's just. Maddie thought it was some type of like a weird pimple popper thing.
I watched Dr. Pimple Popper. I think he had a pilar cyst.
I mean,
but that's only for you pimple popaholics.
We know. Horrible show, my love. You watch that horrible show?
Oh, I watch it every night to soothe me to bed.
I can't watch
Pimple Popper. Popaholic. I love it.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding
dong. He was quite Sling Blade.
He was quite Sling Blade.
Ding dong, ding dong. I don't want violence.
First of all, do you think that Cameron is like such a character, and couldn't he be cast as a best friend in any kind of like 90s or like early?
Oh my God! When you said that, I said he was like an extra in House Party and all of the House Party movies. Like it was that kind of like movie where he was.
Yes. Or he totally would have been like Kim Cole's boyfriend in one episode of Living Single.
I will say, though, I enjoy their storyline. I love his family. I love that crazy family.
Fuck Libby's family. That's the spinoff I want. Those sisters.
Give me the family Cameron.
Wait, my question is his mom. So, yeah, Cameron's okay. Obviously, we know Derek's mom has passed away, and that's a horrible story. But is Cameron's mom not around? Because we don't. Well, how do we
know?
We never talk about it, right?
No, we don't know. We just know that it's just a family of sisters. There's no other men in his family but him.
And
it's like Poodle. She can go a certain time on a podcast, and then she's getting dick pics on Tinder on her phone, and
yes,
she's like,
she
bitch is ready. Because Poodle and Wah are the same kinky-ass person.
I'm getting pics right now.
Listen.
I'm already getting pics.
When you talk about all your kink stuff, I'm like, oh.
Oh, let's see about my phone. I know.
Oh, you're in that world too? You're not a vanilla.
When they start asking me to send like jockstrap pics after 10,
I don't send.
Get ready.
I don't send any naked pictures. I don't have any. I don't send them. Like, let's meet.
I'm gay. I have to.
Yeah, let's meet.
That's
in
just
person.
What we do.
Yeah, I do with no face. My boobies all the time.
Yeah, no, I
don't. Artistic booty pictures is my specialty.
Is it okay if I send pics, but I'm in a pup mask?
That's
great. That's fine. Yeah. Yes.
Is it leather?
Of course. Come on.
A puppy and amber mask?
Yeah.
No, Ryan Bailey tried to come in and say, I have a pup mask on. And I was like, it was like a dog mask. I'm like, girl, that's not a pup mask. If I showed you what a pup mask is, you would pray to your heterosexual god that you would never see anything else.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Right now.
It literally is leather fashioned out of a pup mask fashioned out of leather with like
gold. It looks
studs.
Disturbing. It's y'all anything
Chris, you
that's
can also
gay
get
looks
a,
disturbing.
Can you breathe? Can you breathe in it?
I don't
that's
think you
not
can
important.
Breathe. That's it.
That's
and
part
you can
of
also,
the kink.
You can also get a tail, Chris, but it's just a butt plug that you put in your butt and it has a
and
tail
then it has
on
a tail.
It.
And there's different tails. There's like rabbit tails. There's fox tails.
I like that one.
You just got to put that butt plug there and it, your tail, and you just wag that tail, and they give you a treat if you're lucky.
Yeah. I mean,
don't show any more pics or our Vimeo on our intimate portrait will probably sue us.
Oh, no. And I mean, that's, I don't put anything in my butt, but if I did, it would be, it would have fur on the end.
There you go. There you go. Is your safe word pamplemousse too, Wall?
That's my safe word.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Pamplemousse.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Okay, So we're talking about, I want to talk really quickly before I have time, because y'all talk about Lalu, you talk about Toe, but you also talk about different documentaries. And so, hence DocuSweetie. So I want to know, y'all covered the Miss Cleo documentary. What is it called again?
Call Me Miss Cleo.
Tell me why I need to watch it, because I've been dying to.
Give us a good nugget and why we need to watch that documentary.
Because if you lived through the late 90s and you understand what calling a hotline is, then this will bring the nostalgia to your life. Also, they hire two specific talking heads. One, who is somebody from our childhood. Two, maybe both of them, are a part of the LGBT community. And that LGBTQ community. And that is Raven Simone.
As well as
the Mad TV iconic black master, Deborah Wilson.
You picked it! You got it!
Listen,
she's and also, one of my favorite people.
Yeah, and she's like in tune to Miss Cleo in a way that you would have never thought she would be.
I fanned her one time at an improv show that you were doing, Maddie, and I was there, and I lost my mind, and I said, Deborah Wilson. And she's like, hi. And I'm like, I'm such a fan. I loved you. I watched you all the time. And she's like, you don't look that old. And she was joking with me. But we talked about Mad TV for so long.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, now I'm just kind of doing improv and doing what I can. And I was like, well, good luck to you.
I mean, it highlights and explains a very specific part of our youth that we cherish. And hold dear, it's on HBO, and absolutely watch it.
Chris, is there like a gagged and gooped moment of that documentary, or do you feel like it's more just kind of bringing up a time that was?
I think that it was interesting because I think that we all know certain aspects, and then we got to really deep dive, and it touches upon like fraud and stuff like that. That we were like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, we get to talk about some of the psychics that worked there and stuff like that, and some of their lives, which is of course interesting. And they're like a lot of like actors and out of work people, just like, you know, whatever, just like being like, I circled a fucking ad in the back
in a 90s way.
You know, I love. Is that a song?
Is kind of world. What? I'm glad I got
girls. Oh yes.
Where they were like, I was poor and I was hungry, and I circled an ad, and it was a psychic line, and so I learned the script. You know, like of the psychic network. So
Was she really Jamaican?
No.
I did not know that.
Or
she was from Florida.
Or born in Jamaica, brought as a baby to America, fostered by a woman, therefore not really should have a Jamaican accent, but
she just
not what Chris said at all. She is as much Jamaican as any person who claims to be Jamaican might be. This person's birth certificate was of Los Angeles, California.
Oh.
So, no.
Y'all, and we know nobody's from Los Angeles, California.
Where was she born? Kaiser?
No. My mom is from Los Angeles, California. She's literally born in LA.
Yeah, but that's made up. No, people, no one's actually born from here. Northwest. No one's from here.
Go ahead. I want to say this. If your listeners really want a great docuseries, I think one of the best docuseries, if you haven't yet watched, and this is in how crazy it is and also how beautifully it's shot, would be The Deep End, which is on Hulu.
I have wanted to watch that.
Deep End, what's that about?
Teal Swan, Google and YouTube her. So basically it's about this new age spiritual guru who truly believes her shtick.
Yeah.
She has the gift of gab. She's a charismatic person. And she makes it so that her inner circle has to basically do anything and everything that she says. And from watching this, I don't think that she means to be as terrible as she is. But I know that if I didn't have a conscience, if I was narcissistic, then I would be her.
Wow. I'm laying it out on the line.
I was looking for something to watch after Nexium, And the teal swan thing was suggested yeah. to me.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. It is in line with the Nexium thing.
You'll love it.
Oh God, yeah. I couldn't get enough. No, I could not get enough.
Nexium was fucking crazy.
Y'all, Nancy Salzman knows so much more than she's telling us.
It's like it's crazy.
I
gotta watch.
Yeah. I will
also
say,
watch Killer Sally on Netflix.
The bodybuilder.
Yes, mm-hmm. We've watched a lot of documentaries, and some of them have been like, but Killer Sally on Netflix was really good because it gave us different. Each episode gave us a different perspective to kind of look at with what happened. And at the end of it, it's kind of like, well, what do you think the answer is? There's so many people that was hurt by this.
That's what I love about.
I love docs like that.
I love it that what y'all are doing too, because I would rather listen to you first talk about it, honestly, than what, because there's some great documentaries, but now I feel like there's so many.
It's a flooded marketplace.
Bad doc. And so it's just, I honestly let go of my FOMO of documentaries because I don't want to jump on the new thing everyone's talking about at first, because I want to wait to see if it actually doesn't just have the same fake ending for three episodes until they finally tell me.
No, we are flooded with so much content. And like, I was flooded with content in college. So it's enough.
How's your butthole since then?
Yeah. No complaints.
No complaints.
No complaints.
Okay, before like we let y'all go, I just want
to. First of all, it's only 47 minutes in, and I for sure know that you guys go to like an hour and a half. Why are you rushing us off?
No, I just want to make an hour. I was just thinking of an hour.
I mean, please, we know.
Bitch, I got to eat dinner.
And 20 minutes supposed to go live on my own YouTube. I feel bad about it. Should I have made that later?
Oh my god, I did see that, and I was like, why would you do that? You know, we were talking with Maddie and Poodle.
Just
why would
show
you
your titty?
You know what? I need to go find my wallet to see Johan's dick. No, okay.
Wow.
We can talk. I'm not rushing you all. But I really just want to. I just really want to talk about MILF Manor.
Yes.
Because I know you watch it.
Yes.
No, I do not. I watched.
You
one
know what?
Episode,
I listened to you talk about Sister or whatever that show is. Sister,
Seeking
help me.
Sister Wife.
Seeking Sister Wife. So we're going to talk about MILF Manor.
Tia and Tamara Mori.
Sister. Never knew how much I missed you.
Jake did fan her too, but we don't know if it was Tia or Tamara, but he did fan her too.
I think it was Tamara, and I screamed at her across a crosswalk, and I screamed Twitches.
He was drunk.
And I was really drunk, and she was like, yes!
We were leaving Boardwalk 11, karaoke in Palms.
Yes. Yes.
And he kept saying the whole, that was when Jake first moved to LA, and he was
Tamara Mori is right over there.
And he kept, Tamara or Tia, I don't know. One of them here.
It was
like
Tamara.
The whole night. And literally, she was walking across the crosswalk. Jake's
and
like
I went,
20 feet
Twitch!
Away.
Twitch! And she waved.
You did say to her, you said, I'm such a fan of your work.
I did. I'm such a fan of your work.
I mean, aren't we all?
But it was like she was Sarah Bernhardt or something. I was just like, I'm such a fan. The way you put into your work.
I do love them because those women have fucking milked their career. They have cooking shows now. They have talk shows. Like, they are fucking brilliant.
Tamara Mori was on, did I say Tamara?
Her name is Tamara, not Tamara.
Tia and Tamara.
Thank you. You know what? They said it wrong on Masked Singer. They kept saying Tamara.
Oh no, it's Tamara. I mean, unless
Tia and Tamara, yeah.
Yeah, Tia and Tamara.
Unless she changed it, but it's Tamara,
Unless this entire time it's been Tamara and everyone.
No, I think you're right. Tamara Mori, and she was on The Masked Singer and she was amazing.
She was actually a singer? Oh yeah, they had that one song.
Yeah, thing.
They had that
What happened to their little brother? What's he doing now?
Taj,
yeah. I think was he Smart Guy?
He was Smart Guy.
He's on TikTok right now doing like videos as like, hey, I'm Smart Guy.
He is hot now.
Yeah, is he always
he's gay, right? He's gay, right?
He has to be gay.
Yeah. So he did a thing where he was like out and like talking about being gay and like whatever. I think it was either him or another light-skinned black kid from all of the 90s shows.
All of them.
Oh fuck yeah!
Wow,
check
I
him
said
out.
That's so dirty.
Is he gay? I didn't know he dated Naya Rivera.
What? Then that's
rest in peace.
I know. Shut up.
Boy, that documentary is sad.
Glee? You watched the Glee one?
It is brutal. It's brutal. I would tell you, unless you want a good cry, don't watch it.
No, I don't want to watch it.
I mean, I know, I think you also said this, that you had watched Pam Anderson, which I really want to watch.
It's incredible. I encourage everyone to watch it. It's really well done.
Yeah, that's really the next one on my agenda. Like, I really want to watch that. And I mean, I'm also completely obsessed with the Alex Murda case.
That's so weird you were going to say that. I was just going to say that's a really great one that I watched. And it's also, it's a close thing to me because I'm from South Carolina. And we know, like the lower part of the state down there, like you do own the world if you are in that county. Like, you own the cops, you own the judicial system, you own everything. So when he was talking about that, I was like, that makes sense to me.
There's this thing on that everybody's talking about in Oklahoma that's on. It's called, Who Killed Molly Miller and Colt Haynes? And that's a thing on a podcast called Partners in Crime. It really is. And my dad's second wife, Brenda,
another Oklahoma minute.
No, but I'm saying her daughter, Stephanie, is actually interviewed on the thing. And so people started messaging me saying, these people are talking about Ardmore. They're talking about I haven't listened to it yet, but I don't know if we know who killed Molly Miller, but if people are into it.
Who gives a fuck? Jesus.
Well, I don't know.
Remember when Kristen Chenoweth came out with that, who killed these cheerleaders? Who killed these Girl Scouts? I almost went on the Girl Scout. It was the 1970s. I didn't go on it. Don't worry about it. I'm safe. I became a multi-million.
That was intense.
I want to watch that, actually. I want to watch that because
I listened to a podcast about that. And it was terrifying.
The summer camp that I went to was there. It was an arts camp, and it moved to a different part of the state because a lot of summer camps moved after that because
you could have been murdered.
They try to find more remote places that people couldn't get to because it scared someone so much.
Have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp? Sleepaway Camp, the B-level horror movie, Sleepaway Camp?
I've seen them all, yeah.
Okay, just...
I want to know, what do y'all talk about? So, there's, Jennifer Grey is going to be in the...
Gwen Chamblin.
Do y'all watch do y'all watch Tiger King's the fictionalized thing, or do you just stick to the source material?
No, we watch any docuseries possible. And Miss Cleo is technically a documentary, but we still watched it because we feel like it has the word doc in it. You know what I'm saying? And so,
if they made a fictionalized version of Miss Cleo, but based on the documentary, would you watch that, or is that too meta?
It's kind of like we did Madoff, and they did a lot of
reenactments.
I mean, so many that I'm like, I feel like I was there.
Yeah, but was in a good way.
Yeah,
so, I watched a sketch show about it, and I know there's a Bernie sketch comedy character walking around with a wig. He's great at it.
Everything you needed to know from the sketch show.
Yeah,
I mean, golly,
we're open to anything that we think people will watch and then want to listen to us about.
So we never really. You're not really. Jake tried to hijack the conversation. I'm not going to let him. MILF Manor. Who do you love?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that. Okay.
Boo.
MILF Manor. I want to talk about April W., who no one talks about.
You haven't seen episode three.
J.
Yeah.
April W. is talked about in this episode and her boring son.
Okay, great. Yeah, because we don't know who her son is. He had one line in when we found out that Jimmy's mother had sex with his best friend. That's the first time I heard that man speak.
He did tell me that, and I was agog.
I don't want to spoil.
I was scarred.
There's one part of this episode where they're all dancing out in the club and having fun, and they just cut to April W. and they're just sitting in the room, and she's got her head wrap on and no makeup, and they're just sitting there in their room, bored as fuck. They just want to fucking leave.
Yeah, they're not cut out for this. They're not.
But we do find out that when we did your show previous, Jake and we had different names, and I put. I put, they do, this isn't giving too much away, but they do interviews, they do kind of speed dating this episode. And one of the things that April, one of the things that April W is really concerned with, she keeps asking all the guys if they are into Jimmy style. And they said, what do you mean by Jimmy style? And you know, Jimmy, Jake, that's So Young's son.
Yeah.
And
she's, I'm aware.
Well, he said, remember in the last episode when we played the game, when Jimmy said he got pink eye from giving someone a rim job?
Yeah.
She's like, are you into rimming style? She basically wanted to know who was going to eat her asshole.
Oh, great to know. Great to know that about her. She's just one that we haven't talked about. Then there's Charlene, who Charlene's ex-husband's wife joined my live.
What?
The last time I talked about MILF Manor on YouTube, Charlene's
Chris is just having another drink of wine.
Well, you know what it is? I wanted to go back to the rimming. Can we just break this down for a second? I'm so sorry. I just want to, I feel like you glossed over that.
You know, we're going to go back to the rimming. We're going to go. You know what? So producer Rachel, episode, can we go back to
let
the reading?
We're going
to go.
I want
to Mary,
explain
take
it.
Us back to the reading and then we'll, yeah.
I
want
to explain.
No, wait.
So okay. Let me explain it to you.
We kind of said something like, I know what rimming is. We kind of asked a question.
Not that you don't know what rimming is. Let me tell you the context in which we're speaking about it. Okay. So we have a couple, a parent and a mother. I mean, a child and a mother. We have Jimmy and So Young. So Young is Korean.
I remember. I watched episode one.
Oh, you did watch episode one. Okay.
I'm feeling so that nausea come back.
Next episode, episode two, they have to divulge like some deep dark secrets. And instead of giving a dumb deep dark secret, like I had sex in an elevator or I woke up next to my husband's friend.
Or like, I fucked a football team.
Yeah, or something like that. Or I had a 7-person orgy. This woman decides to say.
So Young.
That she wrote down on a piece of paper and told producers that she had sex with her son's best friend. Meanwhile, her son is 23. So we don't know which best friend. Was it high school best friend?
Chris, and
was
that's college the soul-killing moment that took me out.
Was it college best friend? Or was it just the high school college best friend? Was it the person that this person has been best friends with since 11th grade or 9th grade. We don't know. So
I'm going to say one thing. I wouldn't think the soul crushing moment would happen from so young. I think it would I really thought if you had told me, like, guess what the moment
you
is.
Think Kelly. It was Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah. Of course, not so young.
It was Kelly. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Kelly's just tame and predictable.
Yeah. But she's been on.
She just doesn't like people to speak Spanish.
She's she has auditioned for all of the reality shows.
Oh, yeah, she has.
All of them.
So
she's going to her local QAnon meeting.
Yeah. Orange County nonsense. So
yeah.
So Young's was that she had sex with her son's best friend, and Jimmy's secret was that he got pink eye from eating ass.
That doesn't make sense. Was his eye in the butthole?
Yeah.
I don't get it because
his tongue in his eye. He was his eyeball.
If this,
I've eaten a lot of ass in my time,
and he's doing this.
I never nuzzle the ass like a kitten. I'd never do that. I never
used my eyeball to.
That's what he was doing.
Wah is really rimming the camera.
Yeah, I think, wow.
You would know this feel, if you were on the tier that provided the intimate
There you
portrait.
Go.
So if you it's would true. Like to be on an intimate portrait here, go to patreon.com/realitygaze and do the $10 tier.
15.
Actually, no, it's 15. We charge this.
$15 tier.
Yeah. But
this don't come cheap.
So that does not come cheap. April W. as I texted Mary Payne about it. Mary Payne said, "What did she say?" She's like, "We called it last week with April W." She's like, "Nobody wanted to toss her salad."
I do need to say that I don't watch the show, but I hope that April J. finds love. And I just want to see her on other shows because she talks like this.
She's one of the most tame people.
And her emo son Gabriel.
I hate him. I hate him. And I need him to leave and exit stage left immediately.
I think he exit stage left even. What, I think he's just signed up for an OnlyFans, actually.
I fucking hate every moment of that.
What do you think about Ryan?
Oh, I love him. He's the oldest one, so he's the one that makes the most sense.
He's kind of the hot one.
Yeah, I think it's so stupid that Joey and every other 20-year-old, 23-year-old is on this show. They're wrong for that.
I do think, like, and I wondered, and I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to be, like, offensive to Latinx culture, but they do talk about in this episode, too, like, kind of Jose is really just like, hello, señorita. Like, and so they start.
He's
finally,
trying to.
They kind of calling Rico Suave, and they're kind of calling him out on
it. He is hot though.
Because it seems so. Oh, he's got a big dick.
Yeah, it's
big, big dick.
He's the hottest guy on the show.
But honestly, like the fact that he couldn't relate to what Charlene was saying when Charlene was like, "I don't want to take the reins because I've been taking the reins and I've been leading the pack, and I would love to be with a man who just lets me sit in my, as Chris would say, sit in my feminine and divine energy." And Jose couldn't understand that because he's a young fucking buck who is with these women who want to be equal. When you have an older millennial, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't need to be equal. I will make money, but I want you. I want you. Equal, yes, but I also want you to take charge. So it was just, like, annoying to me because it was, like, such generational gap. This woman is fucking tired, and she tells Jose that, and he's like, no, I think both people should take over.
Charlene, I said this on our crossover. Charlene... They recruited Charlene from the airport. She thought she was going to Senior Frogs.
When they said young men, she was like, oh, 35, right?
Yeah. No,
she didn't know they meant
23. She was accompanying her son to South Padre Island, and because she was worried about him going there, and she got on the wrong shuttle bus.
Wait, I don't know. This is so random. I'm going to North Padre Island in 4 days.
That's amazing. I will say she does bring it in episode 3, a side of her I did not expect.
Oh, good.
So that
I
said,
love
though,
Charlene. She's my favorite person on the show.
I think all four of us are like single. We're looking for love. Would y'all be a MILF or a DILF? What is the youngest that you would date?
Currently 32. He's 32. The one who five times a night, 32. 8 years younger.
Oh. Wow.
The youngest I would date would be 40.
Ooh!
No, I don't. I'm not going younger.
Good. I love that's, you. I know I get
that's,
that.
That's 10 years younger. That's pretty good.
You're oh, my God. Jake.
Jake,
you need to respond. You need to respond, Jake.
I will
need
destroy
to respond.
You. I am 18 months older than you. And you know what? Yeah, that's just
true.
We'll see. I look young. I will say that in our digital worldwide moment, everyone was all the women were obsessing over me.
They did want to fuck you. You did have a lot of people that wanted to fuck
you. Yeah, I witnessed that. I was there. I witnessed
it. It's true. Chris.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
How low will you go?
Hey, hello.
You know what? Right now, I have a height requirement. You have to be a certain height to ride this ride.
I understand that, too.
I'm a curvy, tall girl. I'm 5'8". And it seems like, I'll just be honest, my whole fucking life, I feel like I was led to believe, and I understand that the certain men have, like, let's just say, like, certain physical requirements and what they find attractive in a woman. And I just felt like I finally decided that I feel better with a taller man because I'm a tall, curvy woman. So at this rate, if you look like you can protect me and you are 6'3 and up, I'll go as low as 33. But you better look older. You better look older. Now, truthfully, I don't want to go I want to go like 41 or above. I really want like a 43 to 45.
You know what?
Lovely.
That's for
that
me.
Was,
yeah.
That was going to be my answer because I did it before. I'm about to be 44 next month. I would go 44 or older. I'm not even going younger anymore.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. I would love an older man, but for whatever reason, the youngies, they love me. And like, honestly,
Because you're crazy and freaky deaky. That's why.
Also,
you're freaky deaky.
Also, I look great. Also, that's one
thing. There you go.
Good. You are beautiful.
Yes.
You look a lot younger.
I'm
5'8".
I'm 5'8", too, and I have a gut. And so I'm just like, if I did not deal with men who were younger than me, I would never have sex.
There you go.
Literally, to all 2022 was like younger men. Otherwise, I just would have been sexless. And I was like, well.
That's not going to happen.
Not in Wyoming. What's that? What's that mug, babe?
I'm sorry. You were there when I purchased this. So Chris helped me drive myself to move to Minneapolis, and we stopped at a gas station in Wyoming. And she did. She skipped around the gas station to let everybody know that we were foreigners, and it was in Wyoming. And I got while I was in there.
How was Wyoming not established until 1890? Fuck. Jesus. Y'all need to do better.
It took a long time to steal it from the natives. So, yeah.
And with that, it took a really long time to steal it from the indigenous people.
I mean,
that's the truth.
In the gas station, there was a lot of native people in there too, so it was great.
I'm sure there were.
Yeah.
I want to ask one of the, did you record any shows on the road?
We didn't record shows, but we did record ourselves.
We don't do that anymore.
We recorded ourselves watching people.
Oh, because we did a podcast once on the road. It was our highest rated podcast ever.
It was not our highest rated podcast ever.
It was very successful.
I hated it because you were driving like a fucking maniac.
Let me tell you.
I was not.
The entire 4 days that it took, I was absolutely stressed out because every single bit of my worldly possessions was in the back. And we were going through mountainous, snowy, and very white areas. And I was scared for my fucking life the entire time. I was, my anxiety was on 25. I can't even tell you. Like, I didn't even recognize that it was happening to me until after we had landed in Minneapolis and I had like returned the van. I was just worried about like crashing the vehicle, breaking the vehicle, hitting an animal and being on the fucking side of the road, getting strung up on a tree by these white people. So like, my mind was in a crazy place. So the fact that we actually made it.
It's a legitimate fear.
I mean, yeah, we went through sundown towns. So like,
I mean, the thing though, you were with Chris though, she would just show a policeman her tits.
Yeah, Wah vacillates between the fear of what would happen if she was like caught with me, because she feels like I would either like A, like make such a ruckus that I would try, like I would like ruin the situation for us or make us into more trouble. I like to think that I would be able to try and successfully like get us out of the situation using whatever means necessary. But
I think she underestimates the power of a South Dakotan man who doesn't understand the last name Farah. Like, Farah? Where y'all from? And she's like, I'm half Palestinian, Lebanese, and Syrian. And the person's like, Osama bin Laden. And then we fucking end up in jail.
No,
and then
she
her
would just
dad
say,
comes
like, Farrah Fawcett. They say, oh, she's a Farrah Fawcett.
Her
she's
family,
fine, Reggie.
Her family comes and gets her, and I'm stuck like Claire Danes in Brokeback Palace.
You think
Broke
my
down Palace?
Broke down.
That's a Maddieism, Brokeback Palace.
Right.
We opened a can of words.
What we've learned here today is that Wyoming was hard to steal from the natives, and we're going to have to leave this here.
And supposedly, I'm not sure if Wyoming is real.
You know
what?
We wish Wyoming the best.
Hopefully
healing will start now. Hopefully Israel's real. Who knows? Yeah.
50
Y'all,
years strong.
Docu-sweeties. Ladies, thank you so very much for just being you.
Thank you, y'all.
Just being good friends to us. Just having, we said before, like, y'all, we've known both of them. Chris is the only actor we've ever asked to be in Cabaret with us.
And let on stage with us because we're jealous of all the other actors.
Yeah, and she was better than us, but she made us laugh and on stage and forget our lines. Yeah. And just you bringing Wah into our lives, it's been such a blessing. And we just... Yeah. Love you both very much. Y'all go check out where do they find oh yeah, namaste, like Darcy. Where do you find all things DocuSweeties?
You can find us on social medias. We are at DocuSweeties on Instagram, at DocuSweeties on TikTok, at DocuSweeties1 on Twitter. Of course, we are on wherever you listen to podcasts, honey, that Apple, that Spotify, that Amazon. If you want to see us, just like you do on the Patreon, of course, of Reality Gaze, we have one too. Tee-hee-hee. Wow, tell us how to find it.
You can find it by going on patreon.com/docuSweeties, where we give you exclusive content specifically on docuseries, as well as we go live every first Monday of the month. So we hope that you would join us. It's $10 a month. Nothing. You can afford it. You're fine. Come and join us over there, and we would absolutely appreciate it. And also, Maddie and Jake, thank you so much for believing in us and putting us on and supporting us and having us on your shows. And we absolutely appreciate it and love you. And thank you so much for this gift.
We love you back.
Back at you.
Love you back. Love you back. All right, y'all. DocuSweeties, that's next week. You know what? But until then, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places? Take it, Wah.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many places.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.